Ford. And in addition to his weekly commentaries, you can catch his articles in Sports Illustrated, for whom he's a senior contributing writer. He's also the author of 13 books, including Everybody's All-American, Alex, The Life of a Child, and The Best of Frank DeFord, I'm Just Getting Started. And to prove that title right, he's written another novel, a psychological thriller entitled The Other Adonis, A Novel of Reincarnation. It's published by Source Books, Inc., and it's in stores now. As we discuss some of the latest issues in the sports world and hear about his latest literary effort, we welcome your phone calls at 333-9455 or 1-800-222-9455. That's 333-WILL, 800-222-WILL. And Frank DeFord joins us now. Good afternoon, Frank.
Good afternoon.
Good to have you with us once
again.
Nice
to be with you.
And I want to tell you right up front that it's entirely conceivable that we may have to interrupt from time to time. We have a significant amount of severe weather in the Illinois and Indiana area today.
Sorry.
Yeah, well, you know, you do what you have to do.
Right.
We do have some very exciting news here in Champaign-Urbana this week. We learned earlier this week that the Chicago Bears will be headed this way next season to play their games at the University of Illinois while Soldier Field is renovated. I was curious if you can think of, in your experience, I guess Green Bay is about as small a market as has been the site for a football team in any year.
The Giants played in the Yale Bowl, of all places.
Oh, yeah?
For a couple years when Yankee Stadium, it was before the Meadowlands and Yankee Stadium was being renovated. I do remember that. I wouldn't have remembered it unless you'd said it. It's an arcane piece of information. But yeah, you're probably right. Green Bay.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, the Bears, a lot of folks here excited because they we're split between primarily, we cover the Bears, the Rams, and the Colts on AM 580 in Champaign-Urbana. It's pretty much a split of Bears and Rams fans. And those are two franchises that are doing very well this year.
Well, you've got an embarrassment of riches.
Well, the Rams certainly do, offensively. Have you ever come across a stretch, any team that has had that kind of success in the National Football League, you know, year after? The last 3 years, they've gone 6-0 the last 3 years.
I think that they're probably as outstanding an offensive team as anybody can remember. It's sometimes hard to measure teams from era to era because statistics change and that sort of thing. I'm sure I'm from Baltimore, and a lot of Baltimoreans would claim that the Colts of Johnny Unitas could whip these guys, you know, in a heartbeat. But and the old Bronco Nagurski Bears and various other teams of the past, but certainly for the modern era, these guys are unbelievable.
Now, do folks in Baltimore, are they thinking the ultimate matchup would be that Baltimore Ravens defense against the Rams offense?
You know, until 2 weeks ago, it appeared that there were two teams that just were outstanding in the NFL. They were just head and shoulders above everybody else, the Ravens being the other one. And as you say, it was the classic matchup, offense versus defense. But something's happened to the Ravens in the last couple of weeks, and they don't appear to be the Ravens of last year anymore. The juggernaut that existed seems to have derailed.
And I suspect some of the bloom faded when they lost to the new Cleveland Browns.
Well, yeah, that was disgraceful. I haven't gotten over that one yet.
I'm going to have to interrupt you. I'm very sorry about this.
Call.
Go ahead, and we'll have to fade them out.
Yeah, we do have a severe thunderstorm warning now for northwestern Warren County in west central Indiana until 3:30 p.m. At 2:37 p.m., the National Weather Service Doppler radar indicated a severe thunderstorm 31 miles west of Pine Village. That's 15 miles northwest of Danville, Illinois, moving to the northeast at 20 miles per hour. Storm will be in rural southwestern Warren County at 2:50, rural western Warren County at 3:10, and rural northwestern Warren County at 3:20. It just, it doesn't make sense that it's going to take a half an hour to go from southwest to northwest Warren County. But anyway, that's the latest severe thunderstorm warning. There is a tornado warning still in effect for Vermilion County, Illinois, until 3 p.m. Severe thunderstorm warning for eastern Champaign County until 3 p.m. Severe thunderstorm warning for Coles and Cumberland County till 3:15. And again, a car wash lost its roof in Mattoon due to strong winds in Coles County. Also, tornado warning for eastern Kankakee County for a few more minutes. So that's the latest on the warnings. And, Craig, you can go back and talk about my Cleveland Browns.
All right. Thanks, Ed. And, Frank, I'm sorry about that interruption.
A lot more important than anything I'm up to.
And I can almost guarantee you it's probably going to happen again.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were talking about the Ravens losing to the Browns. Quite a moment for Cleveland fans. This was remarkable.
Well, I do think the Browns, as I understand it, are a lot better this year under the new coach, Butch Davis. And maybe it's just a question of maturing. They had a young quarterback, Couch, you know, and I guess he's just finally come to maturity under the new coach. And teams do sort of coalesce at a certain point, which surprises people, but it all of a sudden sort of comes together, and I imagine a certain element of that has happened with the Browns.
Well, there certainly has been. Oh, I think we have to go to Ed Kieser one more time. Or no, do we have a... Yes, we are. I guess we're going to go to Ed Kieser for a weather update. All right, thanks very much, Ed. And Frank, my apologies once again.
Nothing you can do about it.
That's right. So as we were talking, you know, some standard bearers are fading. Other new teams are coming to the forefront in the NFL. And I guess there's more parity in the NFL than maybe in just about any other league.
Yeah, and I'm not always in favor of that. I think that it's best in any sport to have a few super teams, to have one or two on top that everybody shoots for. I think it's best for the sport. I think it kind of ropes in the fringe fans. The classic example would not be a team sport, but an individual sport, that Tiger Woods' presence in golf has brought in all sorts of people who otherwise wouldn't care at all. And I think the same thing happens in team sports. When you have the one outstanding team, then the people who might not ordinarily care do care. Yankees, for example, will attract a whole lot more people than if this had been the Seattle Diamondbacks World Series.
Yeah, and you were talking about that in your commentary this morning, and I thought you made a very good point that it's okay in the midst of the last several weeks. And it's understandable for people to obviously want to root for New York in every conceivable way, but that doesn't mean you necessarily have to be a Yankees fan.
I was even with them. I was in Chicago over the weekend at a dinner for Courage in Sports, and I went out with they had some cops and firefighters from New York who were invited out there, which was very nice. And the firefighters were from the Bronx. Their ladder company was like a mile from Yankee Stadium,
mm-hmm.
And yet one of the six guys, born and bred in the Bronx, hated the Yankees. And you know, that's the way it is. I mean, just not everybody buys into the Yankees. And by the same token, there are a lot of people scattered all around the country who have nothing to do with New York who like the Yankees. So, yes, it's okay, folks, to root against the Yankees.
Well,
it's all right.
It's especially important to remember that, you know, more than half of New York, or at least half of it, probably they're just Mets fans and therefore anti-Yankee.
Anti-Yankee fans. And then the question, what happens when the Mets get eliminated? And some of them hate the Yankees so much they'd root for anybody but the Yankees. So believe me, there are a lot of people right in the five boroughs who don't want the Yankees to win. So if you live in Illinois or New Mexico or Oregon or wherever, it's okay. It's all right. You're still a patriot. You're still sensitive.
And we've got another weather update. Hang on, Frank.
Okay.
So weather curmudgeon's going to interrupt the sports curmudgeon here. Sorry about that. There's now a severe thunderstorm warning for Benton County, as well as Jasper, Lake, Newton, and Porter counties in Indiana until 3:45. At 2:45 p.m., law enforcement officials reported severe thunderstorms from East Chicago to Hoopston, moving east at 40 miles per hour. Gary, Valparaiso, Morocco, Fowler, and Rensselaer are in the path of those storms. So, repeating, a severe thunderstorm warning now in effect for Benton County, as well as Jasper, Lake, Newton, and Porter counties in northwestern Indiana. That until 3:45. And so we don't have to interrupt again. I'll give you an update. We just got on the tornado warning from Vermilion County, Illinois, until 3 p.m. At 2:36 p.m., that's 10 minutes ago, Doppler radar continued to indicate a tornado 4 miles northwest of Potomac, moving northeast at 45 miles per hour. So you're still threatened if you're around Hoopston or Rossville. In addition, a line of severe thunderstorms with the potential to produce tornadoes, wind gusts in excess of 60 miles per hour, and heavy rain and large hail will affect Danville, Oakwood, Westville, and Georgetown. And there's also that tornado warning for northwest Warren County, Indiana. So we'll let you have more later. Back to the interview.
All right. Thanks very much, Ed. And Frank, we talked a little bit about the Yankees, of course, in the World Series against the Diamondbacks. Any thoughts on these two teams? What stands out about them that gets them to that point that other teams don't have?
Well, clearly the two starting pitchers, Johnson and Schilling, for the Diamondbacks, give them something that no Yankee team has faced. They never faced a 1-2 punch like that in this last 5 or 6 years in the playoffs. So that sets them all apart. And the other thing, the Yankees, Clemens is still somewhat suspect.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a hamstring injury, and otherwise you could say that Messina and Clemens would be the equal of Schilling and Johnson. But and Pettit, of course, is the third one. So I think it'll probably be, I think any, the conventional wisdom is that it's going to be a pitcher series. And the Yankees do have a little bit better bullpen.
And certainly the Diamondbacks have to be thrilled that Randy Johnson finally came around in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, after losing seven playoff games in a row, which is almost sort of impossible for him to lose seven games of any sort in a row. So I think that things are a little bit back to normal right now in the law of averages.
Yeah. Baseball, there's a lot of rumors swirling around right now that the number of franchises may be reduced in the next, maybe in this offseason or in the next year. How do you feel about that? Good, bad, indifferent?
I can't take it seriously until they approach the Players Association, because they have to do that because it's cutting, 50 jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So all the talk right now is just talk, and that's why, because the players' union has sworn that they have not been approached by Bud Selig or anybody else for management to discuss this. Probably would be a good idea. I mean, Montreal is just it's a ghetto. It's just there's nothing there. It's just inner city squalor that nobody goes out to the ballpark, and the Florida Marlins, despite the fact that they won the World Series a couple of years ago, 4 years ago, are a disaster without a baseball park. That's been one of the real bafflements, that with the huge Hispanic population in Miami and the huge number of Hispanics that play baseball, you would just think it would be a natural. But it has not worked out that way for reasons of the stadium and for weather and bad management and everything else. So, yeah, maybe it'd be a good idea to lop off two of those infected fingers.
Well, neither of those Florida franchises have had a great success. I was at a Tampa Bay Devil Rays game about 3 or 4 years ago against the Yankees, and the entire park was rooting for the Yankees. I couldn't find any Devil Rays sweaters or uniforms anywhere.
Yeah, that is. I mean, it's hard to believe, but they came into the major leagues at the same time that the Diamondbacks did, and that's been a hugely successful franchise. But I don't know. It may be, as you say, that so many people have gone to Florida, they don't feel any commitment to Florida teams, except they do for their football teams. I mean, everybody loves the Buccaneers, everybody loves the Marlins, everybody loves the Florida State Seminoles and the Gators and so forth. So it's sort of bizarre that the same kind of affection can't be transmitted to baseball. I don't know why.
And this is vaguely associated with sports. We have word in from the Associated Press. A jury in Miami has found O.J. Simpson innocent of charges stemming from a road rage encounter with another motorist.
Well, I'm so glad for O.J. that he's, once again, the wheels of justice have not rolled over him.
I'm going to leave that one alone. Listen, I know that you have very closely watched the Olympics and kept track of the Olympic Committee. I'm trying to put it as diplomatically.
The public service I perform.
Yeah, as diplomatically as I can put it. Are you keeping up with your old buddy, Juan Antonio?
Well, I think he's a very old man now. And the last I heard, he was quite ill. I don't know the extent of his illness. It might just be old age and that a little rest and recuperation would set him straight again. But I don't think we're going to hear any more from Juan Antonio. I mean, he has been replaced at last by Mr. Roga, Jacques Roga of Belgium. And I think now the question will be how he will do. He's certainly going to be a less aristocratic boss of the Olympics. You don't have to call him Your Excellency and all that nonsense. Whether he's going to be any more efficient in dealing with matters like drugs and so forth, obviously the jury's still out. And I think it's the real problem right now, obviously, with Salt Lake City, which overshadows everything else, is security. And so in a way, that's going to sort of postpone the decisions about what a job Roga's doing, because that's such an unusual and unique situation that it doesn't allow him to look into other matters.
Yeah, do you think there will be a visible difference for those of us watching the Salt Lake Games? Anything with a new head of the IOC and all of the concern leading up to the Salt Lake games of corruption and how they got the games? And are we going to see a noticeable difference in how they're carried out?
I don't think from television you'll see anything at all that's out of the ordinary. I mean, I think the events themselves will go off. It's what surrounds them. And so maybe if you were at the games, you'll surely be searched when you go into the arena. And I'm sure even at many of the outdoor venues. And remember, in the winter games, an awful lot of the stuff takes place sort of, you know, out there in the wild, cross-country ski races, ski jumps and everything. And so you probably will notice some kind of an effect there. But I don't think it's going to encroach on the games in any way. And as a matter of fact, my hunch will be that, God willing, nothing goes wrong. You'll sort of forget about it after a while.
Yeah.
It'll be all the talk in the beginning. It's funny, I was in Salt Lake City on, I think it was September 7th or 8th, giving a speech out there. And all anybody wanted to ask me was, what's the press going to say about us? What are they going to say? Because, you know, they're very, very self-conscious in Utah.
Yeah.
And they were afraid of two things. They're going to talk about how you can't get a drink easily here in Utah. And number two, they're going to talk about, you know, how bizarre Mormonism is, how the LDS Church is. And I said, yeah, you're right. They'll find, particularly the English writers, will find, you know, some polygamist right away and write all about him, and they'll complain about how they can't get a drink at a certain hour. I said, but after a couple of days, don't worry, they'll forget all about you, which is the way pretty much we work. Now, of course, I'm sure that those concerns have been put by the wayside. Nobody's going to be talking about getting drinks in Utah those first few days. It'll all be about the security.
I'll just be thrilled if we can actually see some of the hockey games live.
Oh, well, it's a little bit different from Japan.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm sure that NBC is going to play that up for all that it's worth. The Olympic hockey is a whole lot better than Olympic basketball because we're just so good in basketball that we just wipe everybody out. But not only are any number of hockey nations capable of winning. Remember, Czechoslovakia won, or no, the Czech Republic.
Mm-hmm. Slovakia is separate now.
Yeah, get the straight one yeah. in Japan the last time. But also, it's in season. Well, it's hockey season. It's hockey season with the best players playing. So, believe me, NBC will make sure that you see a lot of hockey.
I'm happy to hear it. I know your new book has absolutely nothing to do with sports, and that's not unusual for you. You've done a number of books that are not related to sports. I was wondering if you could take a few minutes to talk about what The Other Adonis is about.
Well, it's about art and reincarnation, and I guess I would characterize it as a romantic thriller because it's a love story, one through the time, one through the years, but it's also kind of a mystery, psychological thriller. So it touches a lot of bases. It's about a very normal guy. And as a matter of fact, I've given him the name Bucky because I think that's just the absolute rock-bottom normal name, who finds himself caught up in an abnormal situation in which he walks into the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York and sees a painting there, a famous painting by Peter Paul Rubens, Venus and Adonis. And Bucky is absolutely convinced. He's overwhelmed that he is somehow in that painting, and not only that, but that an old girlfriend of his is in that painting.
Hmm.
And given the fact that Rubens painted it in 1635, this is rather confusing to him. And he goes to a psychiatrist, Nina Winston, who's really sort of the pivot on which the whole book turns, and with the help of her hypnosis, we go back in time to 1635, and we find out who the other Adonis is. And that, in a nutshell, is the story. It's got a lot of elements. I had a lot of fun writing it.
I want to ask another question of you, but I just need to pass along. Severe thunderstorm warning for Champaign County has now been canceled, and that severe thunderstorm warning no longer in effect. I wanted to ask you, based on the topic, and I wonder if you think it's even necessary, but first, do you believe in reincarnation?
I don't believe in it, I think, but I wonder very seriously about it. I always have. It's always intrigued me. Going back, I remember as a kid in high school, I wrote a term paper on it. It was a famous bestseller out then called The Search for Bridie Murphy, which talked about reincarnation, and it got me interested. And when you think about it, we shouldn't be so quick to dismiss it here in the West. Most of us, myself included, believe in an afterlife in which we have a soul, and the soul goes off to a place called heaven. And in the East, hundreds of millions of people believe that we have a soul and there is an afterlife. It's just that first you have to come back here for a few times before you move on. So, isn't, you know, when you look at it in those sort of stark terms, it's really just a question, a simple question of faith. And no more miraculous to think that a soul can come back rather than a soul can go to heaven. It's just really the way that you were raised in what spiritual realm. So I'm prepared to believe in reincarnation, and when I die and I find myself back here, I'm not going to be altogether shocked.
All right. Well, Frank, I hope we have more time to talk with you the next time we chat, but thanks so much for popping in and talking with us today.
Well, I hope the storms out there pass on safely.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
That's
Bye-bye.
Frank DeFord, and he is the author of The Other Adonis, a novel of reincarnation, published by Source Books, Inc. in stores now, and of course he is a regular commentator on Morning Edition every Wednesday morning here on AM 580.